Of all those mentioned in the carol, who was missing? Well, it was Joseph. There is no presence mentioned in the carol of the man who would help raise the son of Mary. In Mark's gospel, there's no mention of Joseph at all, although the other three all mention him by name. While a few of his actions are recorded, none of Joseph's words remain. Only Joseph's actions of obedience, care, and presence are mentioned. What child is this? He is a child adopted by a father who loved him. Well, how do we know Joseph adopted him? Look again at Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21 says that she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus. And this is speaking to Joseph now. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Then in verse 25, but he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. We're going to look at another passage that talks about adoption. And I just want you to understand that if you claim to be a follower of Christ, you have been adopted into his family. And we have been adopted into his family. None of us are born into the family of God. You must be adopted. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. I want us to begin reading in verse 26. But now that faith has come, Paul says, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This adoption allows you to relate to God as one of his children. We are to relate to God not as an unknown or unknowable someone, but as our Father. Only those who come to God through Christ by means of repentance and confession are children of God. There is this misconception that some people have. If you've ever seen a list of things that you think the Bible says that the Bible doesn't really say, this is going to be one of them, that we are all children of God. Meaning that everyone driving up and down the highway is a child of God. And that is not true. Only those who have come to him through confession and repentance and have been adopted into his family are children of God. Now you are all sons of God, children of God, adopted into the family of God through Christ, where he is the only begotten of God. Your sonship, your childship, being a child of God, is derived from the sonship of Christ. And you are all sons and daughters of Christ through faith. Sometimes when you ask somebody, are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Well, I was baptized. Baptism is a great thing, but it is not the means of salvation. It is not the means of coming into the family of God. It is strictly an outward sign of the personal response of faith that you have come into this new community, into this new family of God. And we belong to Christ through grace alone. Through grace alone. You are all sons of God, daughters of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. And that is covenant language. That is taking on the identity of another and becoming like them. We are to take off the old and put on the new. And so you can relate to God as one of His children. Maybe you know this story. It was time for dinner. The setting was the palace, with gleaming bronze fixtures on the walls. The lofty ceilings crowned the spacious rooms elegantly. In the banquet room, the king awaited. The call to dinner had gone out, and the king scanned the room to see if all were present. His family, his birth family, was there, but one was missing. It was a guest. Well, this guest was not really a guest any longer, but had become part of the family. The dinner guest's life had changed totally and unexpectedly. Totally because the guest had been living in virtual poverty, and now he ate with the king. Unexpectedly because he was the grandson of the king's enemy. The guest's life was so bad he considered himself a dead dog. And about that time, the king heard a noise out in the hall. Clump, scrape. Clump, scrape. Finally, the person appeared at the door, and it was the missing guest. He slowly shuffled to his place. The tablecloth now covers his feet. It is the lame Mephibosheth, seated in grace at David's table. Now dinner can begin. And it is the same for you. You are not born a part of God's family. He has adopted you into His family. This morning, the question is, have you been adopted into the family of God? Is there a family resemblance? You say, well, you know, I look like my father, I look like my mother, I look like... No, are you acting like? We all look differently. But are you acting like your father? Is there something about you that other people see the grace of Jesus in you? Have you taken on this identity of Christ? Does your life reflect the redemption Christ's death made possible? Have you ever been around somebody that all that you could sense that they were about was trying to earn your approval? That they had this sense of worth based on their performance? If you have, that's not at all what the Christian life is about. We can't earn our way into a right relationship with Christ. He has to adopt us into His family. It may be that you're still wallowing in the muck of sin. So as you think of Christmas, are you celebrating what Jesus made possible? This adoption Jesus made possible allows you to relate to others as family members. There is to be unity in the body of Christ. The blood of Jesus is thicker than anything else that might divide. It's interesting to talk to people. It's been our observation, not having grown up in the Deep South, even though I consider myself a Southerner, those who live in South Carolina and North Carolina look at things a little bit differently than we did in Oklahoma. I remember one guy in one of my early churches that considered anybody that lived north of him to be a Northerner, and he lived in South Carolina. But we have been adopted into Christ's family. The blood of Jesus, let me say it again, the blood of Jesus is thicker than anything else that might divide. We have all come to Jesus in the same way. It is by grace through faith. Because there is this equality of access to salvation through faith in Jesus, Every possible prejudice is torn down. We stand on one Lord and one faith and one baptism. And before God, these three count for nothing. Before God, these three count for nothing: ethnicity, economic capacity, and gender. And that's what Paul was talking about. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek ethnicity. There is neither slave nor free man, your economic status. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ Jesus. Life is to be Christ-centered. Your life is to be Christ-centered, not law-centered. And the church ought to be different because of the new life in Christ. Sadly, families take the brunt of frustration, sometimes anger, sometimes disappointment in lives. And that's true within the church. This morning, are you a family member? Have you been adopted into the family of God? We are to relate to each other then as a healthy family. Where we lived in Oklahoma, I worked just a little bit south of the Red Cross Center there in Tulsa. And I used to get regular phone calls from the Red Cross asking if I would come and give blood. And to me, donating blood is no big deal. And so if I can donate somewhat conveniently, I would do it. I didn't care who the recipient was. Didn't care at all. There are other ways I could contribute to someone's health too. Bone marrow, even a kidney. Who would I consider doing that for? A total stranger? Probably not as likely. For a family member, no questions asked. It's done. I'd do anything for family. What would you do for family this morning? What would you do for the family created by God in Christ? Do we look at those three things that Paul was talking about? Ethnicity or status? Or do we look at them and say, they're a part of the family of God, I'd do anything for them? Are you willing to lay down prejudices and love who God loves? If you don't love everyone God loves, which is everyone, then you are rebelling against God. Is there oneness in this church? Do you look out for other people, or do you just go it alone? Are you willing to hold others accountable? What is your scope of thinking in this regard? Is it kingdom-sized, or is it just what you can get your hands on? This morning, are you celebrating what Jesus makes possible? This adoption Jesus makes possible allows you to relate to the law from responsible freedom. Liberty does not give license nor vacation. Paul uses the analogy of a child to remind us how things were. Guardians or managers supervise the child. Look again at verses 23 through 25, which we did not read. But Paul says, before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. I've just read through Leviticus in my morning Bible reading. It's like, Leviticus, boy, that's a real page-turner. Whew. And you come away from it and you say, why the law? Well, our responsibility as those who read it now is to understand why the law was given. It was given to be our tutor. It was given to direct us to Christ. These things were elemental things, either the Jewish tutelage of the law or Gentile enslavement and pagan In pagan idolatry did the supervising, twisting and contorting and impersonating a relationship with God in Christ. And verse 4 makes the shift to responsible freedom. But when the fullness of time came, And that's what we're celebrating at Christmas, the fullness of time. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born of the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law. Well, he lays out the gospel there in 4 points. It's temporal in the fullness of time. God intervenes the coming of Christ to redeem. There's a great benefit to believers to be adopted. And the Holy Spirit is the sign and the pledge of our adoption, his presence in our hearts. And that is to convince us that God is for us, not against us. That he indeed is our heavenly Father. And so we are to live in responsible freedom. Growing up in southwest Oklahoma with a grandmother who still farmed, I got to learn to drive in the wheat fields of southwest Oklahoma. I was about 13. It was one thing to be able to be turned loose with grandma and grandpa's pickup in the wheat field, but it wasn't very much longer that I began to be turned loose, or at least able to drive on the highways, the back highways. Boy, when I did, I feared the law. But then when I became 16 and I went and took that test and everything was good, I was able to drive freely but responsibly. So it is with you. One time you lived under the law. But if you have come to Christ now, you're living freely but responsibly. So are you experiencing freedom in Christ? Or are you a slave to works? We are to put forth effort, yes, but not we will never earn it. Let me remind you once again that the life of following Christ is a sailboat, not a rowboat or a speedboat. This morning, do you realize you are a part of God's family? Do you realize that he is for you, not against you? And do you have a sense of worth in Christ? Or is insecurity eating away at you? And insecurity manifests itself in wanting to be noticed, or overreaction if challenged, or becomes a wedge in a relationship. As you hear or sing the Christmas carols, remember what Christ has done. Just as he was adopted by Joseph, Jesus makes possible your adoption into the family of God. Can I tell you a bit of another personal story? I understand fully what Robert Jessup was talking about. Adoption has been very near and dear to my heart from the time I was about 15, 16 years old. I can remember the Friday afternoon in May, I believe it was, when I went home expecting my parents to be there, to see a handwritten note from my mom saying, "We've gone to Norman. Judy and Doug went to get Matthew." Well, my sister's two kids were adopted. And now we are adoptive grandparents. I told Jessup this story. I don't remember when it was. It had to have been after my brother had his first biological child. And somebody that knew my parents and all of us fairly well said to my dad one day something about, "How is it when now with your real grandchild?" Well, he knew exactly what the person meant. And he looked at my sister's kids like he looked at my kids or my brother's kids. And I look at the four that were born to my children the same way that I look at the one who has been adopted into my family. I remember saying to my son, "Do you know how long it will take for me to learn to love that child?" "No, not that long." We have been adopted into God's family. Christmas is about being adopted. Joseph adopted Jesus, and now Jesus makes possible adoption for you. Have you been adopted into God's family?